Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. Today is Wednesday in the octave of Easter, and the saint of the day and Kathy looks to be coming in for me to help save my voice, if she can. Okay. Oh, there she is. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. I'm looking for her. Which one is it, Donald? I don't have it.
Really? Okay, I'll go ahead and send it.
Send it to my email?
Yeah, email. I'll send it to your email.
Okay.
I'm just going to call it an article. Okay, I just said it.
Okay, I got it. All right. Here we go. Deeper Truth. The Catholic Defender, Wednesday in the octave of Easter. Our Father who art in heaven, sacred is your word. Your kingdom come, your words be heard on earth as they are in heaven. Give us today your sacred word. Forgive our neglect of it in the past, as we forgive those who neglect us. Lead us towards an encounter with you each time we delve into the scriptures. Presence, your power, and your glory are ever present among us and forever. Amen. Father, we beg your blessing for the right to life, the unborn, the weak, the sick, and the old, all who are finding themselves being targets of the vicious culture of death. That our Lord Jesus bless and protect all who stand up for the Christian dignity of persons. That God enlighten those who are traveling down death's highway by their involvement in any way, with either the contemporary death culture, selfism, relativism, or any of the New Age errors of our time. That God envelop our culture with his divine protection and help us both individually and as a nation to true enlightenment, conversion, and repentance of ourselves and our culture. Help us to turn from our national sin of abortion and return to and once again become a Christian nation on the narrow road that is the path to becoming a nation and culture under God. Amen. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Let us begin in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that your presence in the Most Holy Sacrament, I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that any thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, full and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Reading 1. From the book of Acts, verse 3, 1 through 10.
Okay. Kathy, let me put in the song in here first. I'll put a song here, and then go right after the song.
Okay.
Okay. And you're gonna like this one, I think.
Okay.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Because he lives.
3:1-10. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms, but Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt up, stood, and he walked around and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. The responsorial psalm, "Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name, make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoiced. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia. The Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. That every day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing as you walk along? They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a mighty prophet indeed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, he said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
You know, Kathy, that's an Eucharistic miracle.
It is, Donald.
Okay, the saint of the day. We're at that point.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the Saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Yeah, he does. St. Teresa de Jesus de los Andes. St. Teresa of Los Andes, the flower of the Andes. As a young girl growing up in the early 1900s in Santiago, Chile, Juana Fernandez read an autobiography of a French-born saint, Therese, popularly known as the Little Flower. The experience deepened her desire to serve God and clarified the path she would follow. She became a Carmelite nun, taking the name of Teresa. Teresa was born in Avila, Spain in 1515. St. Teresa suffered from poor health for most of her life, but that did not stop her from filling her every waking hour with productivity. Teresa founded a total of over 13 monasteries during her lifetime. St. Teresa of Jesus of Los Andes is the first Chilean to be declared a saint. She is the first espoused Carmelite nun to become a saint outside the boundaries of Europe, and the fourth St. Teresa in Carmel, together with St. Teresa of Avila, of Florence, and of Lisieux. One needn't live a long life to leave a deep imprint. Teresa of Los Andes is proof of that. The convent offered the simple lifestyle Teresa desired and the joy of living in a community of women completely devoted to God. She focused her days on prayer and sacrifice. "I am God," she wrote in her diary. "He created me in his beginning and my end." As a young girl growing up in the early 1900s in Santiago, Chile, Juana Fernandez read an autobiography of a French-born saint, Teresa, popularly known as the Little Flower. The experience deepened her desire to serve God and clarified the path she would follow. At age 19, Juana became a Carmelite nun, taking the name of Teresa. The convent offered the simple lifestyle Teresa desired and the joy of living in a community of women completely devoted to God. She focused her days on prayer and sacrifice. "I am God," she wrote in her diary. "He created me and is my beginning and my end." One of the most famous miracles attributed to her and presented at her canonization is similar to the miracle of Jesus and Lazarus. The wall of a building fell on Teresa's young nephew, and he was crushed, apparently dead. He was brought to Teresa, and she held her little nephew in her arm, and she prayed deeply. Saint Teresa of Jesus of the Andes was canonized by Pope Saint John Paul II in 1993. She's the first Chilean saint and is the patron of young people of the sick. Towards the end of her short life, Teresa began an apostolate of letter writing, sharing her thoughts on the spiritual life with many people. At age 20, she contracted typhus and quickly took her final vows. She died a short time later during Holy Week. Known as the Flower of the Andes, Teresa remains popular with the estimated 100,000 pilgrims who visit her shrine in Los Andes each year. Canonized in 1993 by Pope John Paul II, she is Chile's first saint. Towards the end of her short life, Teresa began apostolate of letter writing, sharing her thoughts on the spiritual life with many people. At age 20, she contracted typhus and quickly took her final vows. She died a short time later during Holy Week. The special graces given St. Teresa reflect the mysterious wisdom of God at work in individuals, whether young or old. It appears God has his own logic when it comes to who gets what in the realm of grace. All we can say is, praise be the Lord. The solar was beatified on the 3rd of April. In 1987, in Chile, after a miracle attributed to her from her native land cleared her for beatification, while another miracle coming from Chile led Pope John Paul II to canonize her as a saint on the 21st of March, 1993 in St. Peter's Square. Let's see, I read that part. Unfortunately, after only a few months, she caught typhus, and her health quickly deteriorated. She was allowed to complete her vows early, and following great suffering, she died a few months short of her 20th birthday. A great role model for young women, she spoke to all with apostolic zeal, encouraging them to become closer to God. Her feast day is April 12th and July 13th. Patronage against disease, against illness for young people, sick people, Santiago, Los Andes. Saint Teresa of the Andes, known as the Flower of the Andes, was Chile's first canonized saint. She was an active young adult and excellent athlete with many interests. Influenced by reading the lives of the saints, she was accepted into the Discalced Carmelite Order at 19, and after only a few months, she caught typhus. Her health deteriorated. She was allowed to complete her vows early and died following great suffering. She died a few months short of her 20th birthday, a great role model for young people. She spoke to all with apostolic zeal, encouraging them to become closer to God. And
thank you, Lord, for the lives of these precious saints. We pray for America. We pray for our Holy Church. We pray for Pope Francis. And we thank you for these great role models, the lives of these saints. And we pray for our children, those who are coming up against much as a result of Marxism and socialism. So we just pray for our Holy Church. And I thank you, Kathy. Outstanding. outstanding as always. Thank you so much. And for those little children that you got, that's part of Deeper Truth. Families
thank
are
you,
part
Don.
Of the Deeper Truth. And thank you so much. I will end with this. I'll end with this song, and I will do this again tomorrow. God bless you, Kathy, and Mike, who's done a great job the last couple of days, and Gregory, little Nelly, we did last night. They did a great job. So thank you, all you listeners out there that will listen. God bless you. Thank you, Kathy. thank you, everybody. God bless you. This has been Deeper Truth Wednesday in the octave of Easter. God bless you.